Hey, good morning, good evening, good afternoon. This is your guy, Larry, and you just tuned in to Black Nerds Biblecast. How are you guys doing today? Hopefully you're having a wonderful week. Hopefully you either had a wonderful week or having a wonderful week. We are just around the corner from July 4th. For those of you that celebrate the Independence Day, independence of our nation, you know, hopefully this is probably the first year that we'll be doing, I guess there will be like a more of a safety first approach when it comes to that. We're still battling in here in the United States the coronavirus, the COVID-19. Everybody has to pretty much be cautious, 6 feet apart. Make sure you're wearing your mask, washing your hands and face, not touching your face, things like that. But anyway, this will be a different July 4th for a lot of us, because of all the things that are going on. We're in the midst of a pandemic still. At this point, I was hoping that we would have either flattened the curve or totally maybe had this under control. But unfortunately, it looks as though things are starting to ramp back up. And what that simply means is that we need to do what we're supposed to do when it comes to what the local authorities and government is asking, or the health and safety government. We're going to have to start, you know, taking this more seriously and making sure that we are, you know, protecting ourselves as well as protecting others. So, you know, the Bible tells us to love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you love yourself, you should be looking out for not only yourself, your family, but those around you. And that simply means that, you know, when you're going out places, you have to wear a mask, you know. It's not that hard to do. So, you know, I know that a lot of people feel... I've seen some of the most craziest ideas online now as to, you know, what their idea of wearing a mask seems to mean, or they seem to mean that they're being conformed to some kind of weird weird theory. But that's not so, you know. The coronavirus is very, very real. And it's a very real thing. It does get you sick, and it can get you sick to the point of death. And for those people that have prior symptoms like, you know, diabetes and high blood pressure and other things like that, getting contracted with the coronavirus can actually even take you out because of the symptoms that you already have. So do yourself a favor and your family a favor and anybody else, you know, friends and everything, you know, take the necessary precautions. You know, I mean, I know it might seem like it's inconvenient, but you got to do what you got to do. Now, what that means for July 4th, we'll have to see. I'm sure that a lot of places where people will congregate together and probably, you know, go and watch the fireworks together, those things will not happen. And here in California, our governor is actually making the move to close down beaches and things like that. So, and of course, bars and stuff. But on the flip side of that, casinos are opening up, which, you know, go figure. You're going to be in a place where there's a lot of other people. And if you're not socially distancing, you know, you still can possibly contract it. So it's just all over the place, to be honest with you. And I think that you have to determine what is safe for you, what is safe for your family and friends, and act accordingly. But as you can tell, some of you may be watching the news like I have, the instructions have been all over the place. Some are having everything in place. Some of them are saying, well, we're going to open these venues and these businesses up, or what have you. So let that be. Just watch. As you watch and everything, make sure that you're taking the necessary precautions and safety procedures on your own. Okay, so what are we getting in today? We are going to be getting into Genesis, I want to say Genesis 33. Jacob and Esau make peace with one another. This we're going to be reading out of the book, out of that. And we're going to be continuing on. We start off with the reading about Abraham, from Abraham to Isaac, and now Isaac to Jacob. Just a wonderful, I guess, series of individuals that, though these men were not perfect, God used them in a mighty way, and God continued to use them, just like me and you. There's no difference. And so Jacob and Esau, they had a situation going on with them when they were younger, but now they have come together and they have made peace, and we'll see where this goes from here. And then also, I also bring up the fact too that forgiveness. So forgiveness is a thing that that we should be practicing sometimes. I know it's hard, you know, sometimes somebody might have offended you, somebody might have made you upset, made you angry, things like that. But how do we get past being angry and getting over it, or maybe moving toward reconciliation? How do we do that? And I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to say that it's easy. It's definitely not, you know. So maybe we can get something out of what we read out of this story. So why don't you do me a favor and just relax, sit back and relax, and enjoy this next episode of Black Nurse Biblecast. Hey, so hopefully you're having a good morning, or whatever time of the day that you're listening to this Biblecast. So we're going to go ahead and get right back into the continuation in Genesis. So I know it's been a little bit. We've been kind of skipping around. I know last episode we did something that was totally different out of the New Testament. And so that was on just kind of on purpose, actually, because of the things that we have going on in the world today and our society. So now with this one, I want to kind of get back into the continuation of the story of Genesis and talking about Abraham's family. So we went from Abraham and then to his son Isaac, and then Isaac had a son named Jacob. So right now we are continuing the story of Jacob. I think the last time we talked was when Jacob Abraham had already passed away. Isaac was old in age. There was a story that we went through with Isaac and Esau. Jacob and Esau, excuse me. Now I'm getting the people mixed up here. Jacob and Esau, who were the two brothers. Jacob's mother was also had a hand in basically manipulating or tricking Esau out of his blessing. And that was a situation that had happened. And these two, unfortunately, though they were brothers, they were at odds with one another. Jacob had to end up fleeing away. Isaac also told Jacob to go ahead and find a woman out of the place where his grandfather Abraham was from, out of Padan Aram. And so when he arrived there to meet his his uncle, Laban, who was the brother of, I want to say the brother of Rachel. Rebecca, the brother of Rebecca. Then they had met up so that he can obtain a wife, which actually, believe it or not, would have been his cousin. So, and with that being said, you know, of course, today that is unheard of, having, you know, you marrying your cousin. That is still considered in some cultures is still considered incest, especially if it's your first generation cousin. Or and I'm not sure exactly, like in American culture, I think it's like, I think it goes back to possibly third generation cousin would be the furthest out that would be okay to actually still marry, even in American culture. So Mind you that the things that we read out the Bible, number one, the location of these stories are in the Middle East. Number two, the time that these things happen and the culture of them were a lot different than what we understand them as today. So keep that in mind. And so, again, I don't think that the Bible, one thing to remember. And let me say this before we move on into this next story. One thing about the Bible is written almost in a way as a testimonial to the events and situations that has happened. So the stories that you read has actual people in them. The Bible is not really a book that really is set to convince you of something, but as opposed to the life and the lives of the people that are in the Bible are actually used as a roadmap even to help us to understand how God deals with people and how God, in spite of people's mistakes and shortcomings, God still continues to deal with us in a graceful way, believe it or not. And God is a God of patience, but he's a God of justice, and he's a God of authority. And he, again, because we understand these things through the Word of God. And so, again, just for information's sake, understand that. And yes, you know, I, just like some of you out there, get a lot out of reading the Word of God. So let's kind of get into this real quick. And this part is in Genesis chapter 33. And this is Jacob and Esau make peace. So remind you that there was a time when Jacob had stolen Esau's blessing. And which, you know, again, that's we can go over that some other time. But let's start at verse 1. So then Jacob looked up and saw Esau coming with his 400 men. Now, mind you, at this point, I'm sure Jacob was probably scared because he understood that Esau was pretty upset with him from the time that he had stolen his blessing. I guess it might have been some years that had passed. So he divided the children among Leah, and Rachel. Now Jacob had two wives, and I'm not sure if we went over that story, but he had two wives at this point and his two servant wives. He put the servant wives and their children in front, Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph last. Okay. And then he said, then Jacob went on ahead. As he approached his brother, he bowed to the ground seven times before him. Then Esau ran to meet him and embraced him, threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they both wept. Now, this is such a beautiful reunion. Understand that these two brothers, they had odds with one another. Actually, more or less, Esau probably, I'm sure, had more odds with, was more upset with Jacob, of course. Okay. So let's continue on in verse 5. So in verse 5, it says, then Esau looked at the women and children and asked, who are these people with you? And then Jacob answered, geez, these are the children God has graciously given to me, your servant. Okay. Then the servant wives came forward with their children, bowed before him. Next came Leah with her children, and they bowed before him. Finally, Joseph and Rachel came forward and bowed before him. Okay. And what were all the flocks and herds I met as I came? Esau asked. Jacob replied, they are a gift, my lord, to ensure your friendship. My brother, I have plenty, Esau answered. Keep what you have for yourself. But Jacob insisted, no, if I have found favor with you, please accept this gift for me. And what a relief to see your friendly smile. It is like seeing the face of God. Please take this gift I have brought you, for God has been gracious to me. I have more than enough. And because Jacob insisted, Esau finally accepted the gift. Well, Esau said, let's be going. I will lead the way. But Jacob replied, you can see, my lord, that some of the children are very young, and the flocks and the herds have their young too. If they are driven too hard, even for one day, all the animal could die. Please, my lord, go ahead of your servant. I will follow slowly at a pace that is comfortable for the livestock and the children. I will meet you at Seir. All right, Esau said, but at least let me assign some of my men to guide and protect you. Jacob responded, that's not necessary. It's enough that you've received me so warmly, my lord. So Esau turned around and started back to Seir that same day. Jacob, on the other hand, traveled on to Succoth. There he built himself a house and made shelter for his livestock. That is why the place was named Succoth, which means shelter. Later, having traveled all the way to Padam Aram, Jacob arrived safely at the town of Shechem in the land of Canaan. There he set up camp outside of the town. Jacob bought the plot of land and where he camped from the family of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver. And there he built an altar and named it El Elohi Israel. Hey, so we're going to continue on about talking a little bit about chapter 33 of Genesis. So I think in this one here, I just want to really focus on one and one thing simply. This is about Jacob and Esau. These were two brothers that, you know, if you remember the story, I want to say it back around the 25th chapter or so of Genesis. I might be wrong on that. But there was such a big conflict between these two brothers. We also know historically that these two brothers will always, unfortunately, have conflict. But at this point, this moment in time, we see now where Jacob and Esau make peace with one another. And I say this, and the reason why there's so much that we can uncover about Jacob himself. Jacob, you know, was not a perfect man. Neither was his father, Isaac, and neither was his grandfather, Abraham. God continues to deal with Jacob. Jacob really is the main story, a main subject of the story. But in this one here, we kind of pause from Jacob's story. And part of Jacob's story is how he was able to reconcile with his brother. There's some times in your life where you and maybe a sibling, or you and maybe a relative or a friend, may have had odds with one another. The crazy thing about life is that sometimes when you have a disagreement, when you have a situation, a circumstance that has happened between you and another person, you know, this thing or this break in a relationship can actually take occurrence in years, months, for months would turn into years. And it's sad, because what happens is that, even God shows that no matter what the situation is, how bad it was, how bad a situation has between you and another person, there's always room for forgiveness. There's always room for reconciliation. Now, I know that everybody's situation is different. Maybe your situation is different. Maybe your situation seems unbearable. Maybe you are the one that someone has offended you, or someone has done something to you. One of the things that God wants us to understand is that God wants us to learn how to forgive. And some of you might be thinking, well, I can forgive, but I'll never forget. And that is a human possibility. Not being able to forget about someone who wronged you is hard to do mentally because of the fact that how much it hurt. I can recall things and situations and circumstances in my life where I've been hurt and upset about it, where it came from, the person. When that happens to you, you know, you tend to kind of bottle it up. You tend to kind of feel like I'm going to find a way to cope with it without reconciling with this person. This person is either dead to me. I've heard people say that they're no longer in existence, in my existence no longer. So I'm choosing to not communicate, not ever have a part of their life anymore. And, you know, all depends on, I guess, not just what the person has done to you, but how deep the hurt is. Sometimes the hurt that you feel is so deep that you have decided on your own to choose to move away, to walk away, to close up your heart, close up your communication from this person ever again. And you may feel justified in doing that. You may feel like it's okay to do that. I have a right to do that. But here's the thing. You got to think about what does God want you to do? Am I saying that what was done to you was right? No. It might have been the thing that, because they didn't realize or they did realize what they have done to you was wrong. But yet you're holding on to something that is hurting you or has hurt you so bad. And it, deep inside, whether you've chosen to walk away from the situation, whether you've chosen to ultimately X them out of your life, you're still in the back of your mind, does not stop them from ever existing. Maybe they're not existing in your communication. Maybe they're not existing in your way of thinking, but in some ways they are still there. What does that do to you? For what it does to you is that you now have this ongoing thing within yourself that is holding non-forgiveness, non-reconciliation. So you all the while are still holding on to that and harboring that, and almost like it's a swallowing of an acid that keeps you down within yourself. God is saying that's not good for you to do. You may say I'm good without that person and have moved on, but that person or that offense is still there. It's still there. It is still where there's times in your life where you probably think about that person or have thought about what that person has done. So if you're that person right now that when you hear this, instantly you know who that person is. My suggestion to you is, first of all, is pray. Deep inside, tell the Lord that you're hurt and you're upset and you're angry at this person. The first step to praying to God about unforgiveness is to come to Him with honesty and openness and just tell Him how you feel. He knows how you feel, but sometimes it's good to just open up to the Lord. It could be by yourself, on your own, while you're by yourself. and just say, God, I'm angry. I'm upset. This person did this to me, and I'm so angry with this person. I'm very hurt from what this person has done to me. And it may cause you to cry and everything, but the Lord wants you to be able to move past this. Now, once that happens and you're giving yourself time to get that out to Him, ask the Lord, what would He have you to do next? Does that mean a phone call? Does that mean coming to this person and say, hey, I need to have this conversation with you. I've been harboring this for too long. See, unforgiveness is not good, and it causes bitterness, and it causes resentment, and it causes a deep-seated hatred. And at one point in your life, you may do something to someone, not so much like this person has done to you, but you may do something that may upset someone else. And you have to think of how you need to rectify and reconcile that with that person. If you can reconcile with the person that you've offended and hurt, allow the person that hurt you to give them a chance to reconcile with you. You might be a person, like, again, if you are holding on to something and have decided to shut them off forever, you're not doing anything to that person. Maybe, yes, that person might be upset that they no longer have an open relationship with you, but you're not killing that person. That person is moving on with their life, and that person is moving ahead with their life regardless. And so now, here you are, every time that person's birthday comes up, or maybe a certain time in their life that you remember comes up, and that memories of that person still come up, and you, because you're still angry and bitter, you decide, I'm going to swallow that and not think of that person. Maybe you might be one of feeling deep inside that I'm going to make this person pay by not calling or not asking or inquiring how that person is doing. Maybe you feel that way. But I tell you, if you feel that way, the only person that you're affecting is yourself. Because the Lord doesn't want you to hold unforgiveness in your heart. He doesn't. Remember this one last thing I will say. Jesus Christ died on the cross for all of us. Jesus Christ, before He went to the cross, He was plotted against by people that were supposed to be trustworthy people. The Pharisees, Sadducees, teachers of religious law. Even coming to His own people, the Jews, and they rejected Him. He was around His disciples, and one of them, which was Judas, betrayed Him. Okay? And as He went through that situation, as He went through all these different turning points in His earthly ministry leading up to the cross, and as He was actually at the point where He was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed and asked God, if there's any other way to go through this crucifixion, or is there any other way that I can fulfill Your will, let it be so. But if not, let it be Your will, not my own. So He was willing to go through. He was willing to go through the pain, the rejection, the agony, the embarrassment at the hands of man, at the hands of God's creation, in order to go through whatever it is he had to go through, all for the purpose and love of his Father to do whatever it is he had to do. As he went toward the different stages leading up to the ultimate end of the cross, he had to be ridiculed and whipped lots of times by men that he did not know. And then he turned around and was beaten across the face, be mocked, ridiculed, and spat upon in his face, being rejected by priests and teachers of religious law, being denied that he was ever known by one of his own disciples, being betrayed by one of his disciples, sold for 30 pieces of silver. He went through all this before even ultimately being crucified on a cross, nails in his hand, nails in his feet, cross of thorns bared down on his head. Okay? He went through and endured excruciating pain, where ultimately in the end, bearing upon the sin of the world of all mankind, and after bearing all the sin of all mankind, was ultimately rejected by his own heavenly Father at the end, where he said, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" But before he said that, he pleaded with the Father, his heavenly Father, while being on the cross, and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I said this because no matter how bad the situation had occurred in your life of the person that hurt you, or what they have done to you, or whether they rejected you, whether they have done whatever it was to you, remember what Jesus went through. Remember all the things that Jesus went through and ultimately had to go through the cross in order to forgive me and you for the things that we have done. Am I saying that you should forgive because Jesus forgave you? All I'm saying is compare what Jesus has went through compared to what you have gone through, and ask yourself, God, if you have done what you could do for me and forgave me, Lord, help me to forgive and help me to not harbor unforgiveness in my heart. I pray that the story of Jacob and Esau, as we read this, Jacob stole Esau's blessing. In my thing, and maybe in yours, it seems to be something that's unforgivable. That means that Esau would never be able to get the blessing that his father, Isaac, would have given him. But instead, here we see in Genesis 33 that Jacob comes up to Esau, and then Esau, in verse 4, ran to meet him and embraced him, threw his arms around his neck, kissed him, and they both wept. Listen, you may not know how your reunion will turn out, but because there was so much hurt and pain that you might have went through, you never know what God is trying to heal, whatever situation it is. Ask God from your heart that I want to reconcile, and He will open the door. It's up to you to walk through that door. But understand this, harboring unforgiveness, no matter what it is, God says that if you don't forgive your brother, I won't forgive you. Now, that could mean, I don't know exactly how deep that means. I'm not going to say that He doesn't forgive you when it comes to sin, but He does hold it against you that you don't forgive. That in other words, He will hold that against you. Unforgiveness. Sometimes if you pray and you're asking for something, maybe God is saying that, let's see if you can reconcile with this person, and maybe the doors of heaven, the windows of heaven, will open up for you. Maybe you might be asking for something that God, asking for God to bless you in a certain situation, and you have yet to forgive and reconcile yourself with someone that you have not talked to. Again, I know it's not easy. Matter of fact, when someone has hurt you, it hurts. And that's why I want to tell you and remind you to come to God. Tell Him how you feel. Explain to Him that you're hurt and you're upset and you're angry, and be open and transparent with the Lord so that healing can begin. I hope this was a blessing to you, and I hope that you will make that first step. If you ask God to open the door, He will. All you have to do is walk through that door, and then the healing process will begin, and the hurt will be over. Thank you for listening. And with that being said, I'll talk to you next time. Have a blessed week.